Hallelujah. Why don't we keep worshiping him in this place? God, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this place today, God. What it is that you're going to do in our lives, God, that your fire would fall, oh Jesus, in this place, God, and that we'd be met by your presence, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Anoint our hearts to receive, God, and anoint me to bring forth your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's presence is in this place. And Sergio was asking me today what I was preaching, maybe because last time we did this, I kind of preached like the opposite of his message, so, but that's not today. If you could turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, maybe a familiar story to many of us. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. I don't know, I just want to talk to you for a few moments today about an experience with the fire. An experience with the fire. You may be seated. And as I was putting this together, you know, maybe Sergio's teaching was, he was talking about his testimony and it was great, but kind of the conversations I was having after the Bible study or before went with my message more. So Sergio, I guess, had a problem with starting a fire, and then Cecilia, all they do is use fires to heat their house. And has anybody played with fire? You know, there's a play with fire. Okay, I might have told this story before, but my friend, his grandfather had a cabin in West Virginia, right? And we were really bored. I mean, there's not much to do out in the mountains of West Virginia. So we went to Walmart, what you would do for fun in West Virginia, I guess. And we bought a whole thing of bullets, duct tape, and propane tanks. Okay, and they let, that was no problem there, I guess, in West Virginia. And we had a plan of what we were going to do that night. We made a bonfire, okay, and we took a log, and we duct taped those propane tanks together, and we put it right in front of the log, and then we stood about, you know, 50 yards out, and we shot the propane tanks into the fire. And that was our fun. And my dad was there with me, so, you know, I'm 15-year-old Kyle. My dad is acting more of a kid than me. I'm trying to be cautious, and he's taping these things up. He's getting so excited. He's ready to blow these things up. And there was a mushroom cloud, let me tell you, that was above the trees. I don't know how tall it was, 20, 30 feet. This thing was huge. So we're like, yeah, let's do it again. So we get more propane tanks. We're duct taping them together. We're putting them together. And this time, yeah, there was a mushroom cloud, but also the propane tank started flying at us at like a ball of fire. You know, we didn't tell my mom that one, but we were playing with fire big time. Don't do that. All right, Ian, everybody, Aiden, don't, James, don't do that. That's bad, all right? Don't shoot propane tanks into the fire. But that was us. That was playing with fire, and fire is powerful. It was bright. Oh yeah, it was dark out, but it got really light out when we shot those things into the fire, for sure. It was kind of scary. And in the Bible, what we're talking about here is the fire of God. But the fire of God has always been, it's associated with his power and his presence. And for those of you who don't know, just a little background on the story of Moses. He was born to an Israelite woman. And at the time, Pharaoh decreed that all the male children in Israel would be killed, should be killed. So she put him in a basket. We may have seen the pictures and the drawings and the paintings of it maybe. And she sends him down the river, and he's met by Pharaoh's daughter, who adopts him, and he's raised in Pharaoh's house. And all this time, right, before we're met here at the scene with the bush, Moses had lived a double life. So he's adopted into Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter, and one day he sees an Egyptian beating an Hebrew slave, and at the time, all of the Israelites were slaves to the people of Egypt, and he kills that Egyptian and buries him in the sand, and he's scared for his life. He's fearful, so he runs to the desert. So he runs from Egypt, and after all these years on the run, now he's herding sheep on the backside of the desert. And I've never been in a desert, but I imagine it's bad, and I don't know what the backside of a desert is, but he was there, okay? So it doesn't get much worse than that. Moses is in this place, the backside of the desert. They're not even his sheep, okay? They're his father-in-law's sheep. He doesn't even own sheep. He's just like the lackey to take out the sheep, you know, to the backside of the desert. And perhaps he was content with living the rest of his life herding these sheep. But God had another plan for Moses and his life. And if you would read through in verses 7 to 10, God lays out his plan for Moses and what he wants Moses to do for God's people. He's to go back to Egypt and proclaim to Pharaoh to let his people go, let them out of bondage. Moses is to go back to where he was from. And in our own lives, there's plans we'd like to do or things we'd like to be, but God has certain situations that he wants us to do, certain ministries that he wants us to have. And for Moses, he was content with just living his life and doing all the things he thought that he needed to do until he had an experience with the fire, until he had an experience with the power and the presence of God. And it didn't matter what Moses' past hurts were, his past regrets, anything that he had, his insecurities, it was all taken away when he had an experience with the fire. And if we're going to reach this world and reach our city and reach this campus, it can't be what we want to do, but we need to have an experience. An authentic experience with the fire. That when I get to an altar and I can praise God, that I know he can meet me and I can have an experience with him. And that's what we need as a church in 2019, is an authentic experience with the fire. It only takes one encounter with Jesus to change a life forever. It only took one encounter with Moses in that bush to change the course of his life forever. All the plans, all the running, all the things he thought that he was going to do, all the worth that he thought he had, it was changed with one encounter with the fire of God. A real encounter with the fire of God will never leave us the same. If we really experience his presence, it can never leave us the same. It will transform our lives. It will transform our thoughts. It'll transform who we want to be and what we want to do. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we've probably heard these portions of scripture so many times. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What can change our life is an encounter with the fire. An encounter with the fire, not something that's second rate. We can't figure it out. I can't figure it out and try to change my life and make my life what I think it needs to be. It's going to take the fire. It's going to take a fire within me. Moses couldn't reach those people. If the burning bush, we could think of it maybe as what God was saying, Moses, this is what I want you to be. I want you to have my fire and go there and proclaim my word to people in Israel. And if we're going to reach this city, if we're going to reach people around us, we have to have an encounter with the fire. I have to have the fire inside of me, when people see my life, when people see who I am, that they know that I was changed, that I met the fire, that there's a fire inside of me that's different than anything anybody could find in this world, that there's something burning inside of me that's different. And that's what we need to have. That it's not enough to just come to church and to just go through the motions and to live defeated and without the fire. That I need to get a hold of the fire of God and the Holy Ghost to come into my life and fill me and consume me with the fire. It's the only way we'll reach our community, our families, is when we have an encounter with the presence and the fire of God. Moses helped to deliver a nation after encountering the fire of God, just seeing it. How much more can the church in 2019 do when we are filled with the fire? When we're filled with God's Spirit, as we said in Acts. Moses just saw it. Moses just got near it. And that was enough to change his life forever. Just coming near a little bit of the fire and hearing God's voice out of the burning bush. How much more can we do filled with the fire? What more can we do? The fire is found in a prayer meeting like we had 2 weeks ago now, I think, three weeks ago. The fire is found in daily prayer with the Lord. The fire is found in studying the word when you're tired. when fasting when it's not easy, with finding an altar of repentance, that's where the fire is found. When I can get in the presence of God and start to invite his presence, his fire, it says in the scripture, will fall. That when I begin to praise him, even when I'm going through a hard time, even when I'm going through something that seems impossible to get over, that when I start praising him and I start lifting him up and I say, God, even in my struggles, I'm still going to praise you. Even though what I'm going through, I'm still going to praise you. Even though I don't see the way out, I'm still going to study. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to come to church. I'm still going to reach. I'm still going to push. And his fire is going to fall, and his presence will begin to come in our lives, because that's what it takes. It takes a praise that doesn't matter what I'm going through, I'm still going to praise you, and his fire will fall. Fire is found when I lift up my hands, when I feel like I have no other answers, and God pours out his spirit on my life. And that's what we need. And I want the presence and the fire of God in my life. There was too many times where I would go to church or in my life where I'd be missing that fire, that passion, that zeal, whatever it would be, that, you know, that fire burning inside of me to want to reach people or to want to do things or connect to God, because I was just too busy doing what I thought I needed to do, my own goals, my own ideas, my own thoughts. But the fire is what I really needed to get over the things that I was going through. The fire is powerful. The fire is a light. The fire is a beacon in the darkness. And in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, it says that the Lord guided them by pillar of fire. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So after delivering the people of Israel, Moses went. He went to Pharaoh. Let my people go. All these plagues, crazy stuff, right? Part of the Red Sea. But God's fire didn't leave Moses there. It was guiding them in the darkness. It was guiding his people. It was leading them to where he wanted them to be. And without the fire of God in our lives, how can we expect to be guided? How can I expect to be guided? I could try to figure everything out on my own thoughts, my own ideas. But without the fire burning inside of me, without his presence in my life, how can I figure this thing out? How can I figure out really where to go? How can I figure out my career? How can I figure out all these things without his fire guiding me in my life? How can I expect to show his light to others and be a light to this lost and dying world if I have nothing inside of me burning for him? If I don't connect with his presence every day, if I don't find a place where I can get to and reach him and have his presence come in my life and I can meet him, how can I reach anybody? You know, when people see me, do they just see another college student? Or do they actually see somebody who's filled with his fire and his presence and his spirit? When people see me, do they see the fire? When people see us as a church, do they see the fire? And that was so strong on me in prayer this week as I thought about this message, that I want to have the fire more than I've had before, more than just going through, more than just, you know, I'm not talking about it just a church service that's, you know, going well and people are running around and the music is just right. No, I'm talking about a fire that's authentic, that's with me wherever I go. When I'm at my job, it's with me. When I'm walking on campus, it's with me. A fire that when people see me, they know that something is different. That I've been in the presence of the Almighty. So how do we get the fire of God in our lives? Well, it was simple for Moses. His experience with the fire came after he turned aside. You know, perhaps out of curiosity or perhaps the drawing of God, maybe both, Moses turned aside to go to the burning bush. And then God spoke to him. And if we want to have the fire of God and his presence in our life, we must turn aside from our busy schedules, our lives, and everything that we have put before him, and find a place where we can enter into his presence. That I can't get the fire, and I can't get a hold of the fire in my life, and really be set ablaze by God and what he wants to do in my life, if I'm so busy and so consumed with my ideas that I find no time to turn aside and actually get into his presence. you know, coming to church is one thing, but I could feel the presence of God in a church service, but not reach out and not connect to his fire that's already here. I could leave this church service just the same as I walked in because I didn't find the place to get in his presence. His presence might have been all around, but I wasn't connecting to him. I wasn't reaching to him. I was holding on to whatever I had inside. I was thinking about whatever I had to do after the service. I was thinking about, you know, all the things I had to do this week. And God is saying, if you would just turn aside, take a moment and reach out to me, I'll meet you with the fire. I'll meet you with my presence. I'll fill you up with the thing that you've been wanting, that there's something missing, and I could fill you up inside if you would just turn aside and come to me. And yes, Moses had his doubts. If we read through, he turned aside, God spoke to him, and then Moses had excuses. You know, how could I be the one that could speak? Or who should I say sent me? And all of these things. He had doubts, excuses, insecurities, a past of the things he was and the things he thought he was. But God was going to use him despite those things. God was going to use Moses. And when we come to God, we also have things in our life. You know, insecurities, doubts about how God could use us. Things we aren't proud of. Things we want to get rid of. And God wants to use us despite that. But also in Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, it compares God, we don't have to read it, but it compares God to the refiner and the refiner's fire. Sorry, Vince. Thank you for bringing it up. To the refiner's fire. And I've heard this before, but and even in chemistry, I guess, but when people want to refine something, like there's impurities in gold. What they'll do, right, they'll heat up the metal really hot with the refiner's fire. And they'll begin, all the impurities rise to the surface. And they begin to skim the impurities off the refiner. Skim them off, raise the temperature, take off the impurities, until the refiner can see his face in the reflection of the gold. And we have all these insecurities, all these doubts, all these things Moses had, and we want to get rid of them. And I try to get rid of them, right, on my own. I have. You know, maybe I'll do this on my own will. Maybe I'll do this on my own. And really, the only thing that can purify us and take out the things in our life that we don't want to be there is the fire of God, is the refiner's fire, is getting in his presence. God, that there's things in my life I'm not proud of. There's things in my life that I don't like. There's things in my insecurities, doubts, whatever, that are preventing me from being used from you. Get in the presence of the refiner's fire. Get in his presence. Let him start refining. Let him start making something new. Let him start bringing all the impurities and all the things and all the stuff that you don't want to be there and start taking it out of your life. Because that's all it is. The fire, yes, there's power, but it also refines. The fire purifies. The fire is something that God wants us to get close to so that he can bring us higher. He can make us better. He can make us what he wants us to be. And I want to be in his presence. I can't get refined. I can't get made to what he wants me to be. I can't be who he wants me to be unless I find a place where I get in his presence. Unless I find a place where I get at an altar and the fire of an altar and I say, God, everything I've got, I'm giving it to you, God. Everything that's holding me back, I give it to you at an altar. And when we proclaim the name of Jesus, the fire falls. He meets us. And the impurities, the insecurities, the pain of our past begin to burn away with the fire of God and his presence in our lives. That all those things I was holding on to, all the hurt, all the pain, all the past, God begins to bring it up to the surface and take it away from our lives. He begins to bring it up and say, you know what, you used to be holding on to that. That impurity, that thing, but come into the fire. Come closer to the fire, and I'll begin to take those things out of your life. I'll begin to take that past hurt and heal it and refine it and make it what I want it to be. God, that we would be set on fire for you. It's the only way that it will happen is with the refiner's fire and the fire of God. It is the fire of God that can help us remove things in our life that are killing us. Take away those impurities, like I said. And I don't know if this is very true, so correct me if anybody's a farmer or things like that. or has done that thing before. But I think it was, maybe they don't anymore, but farmers used to plan burn their fields. Is that right? And from what I understand, it was, yeah, the crop to get ready for the next harvest, but also to get rid of the weeds, to get rid of the bugs and the things that had grown there, and to make it ready for the next thing that the farmer was going to plant in the season. And there's all these things, like I'm saying, the refiner, but if I can use the another analogy, God is wanting to plant new things in our life. You know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of these things, but we got to get in his presence so he could burn out the junk, so he can make the soil ready, so he can start planting things in our life. That I need to get all this stuff out. You know, it's probably not comfortable, but God, do it. God, take away all these things that aren't pleasing to you. Take away these things. Burn them away, God. Make the field what you want it to be so that you can start planting joy again in my life. That you could plant peace in my life. All of these things, God, plant it in my life and get rid of the things that aren't pleasing to you so that I can be made whole. And we, you know, you might be saying, all right, the fire of God, but I don't feel it. I don't feel a fire. I feel cold. You know, there's nothing burning inside of me. It's just coldness. I come to church and I feel nothing. I feel no presence of God. I pray, I don't feel him anymore. You know, when I lift my hands, it's just, there's nothing there. You know, when we let life and the weariness and the worries of life and all these things get us tired, and the busyness of the world, and all these things, and life comes in, and we're talking about this, right? I need this fire to refine me. I need this fire to make it so that God can plant things in my life. I need this fire so that, you know, God can do things in my life, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. How do I get it? You know, I come to church, I read the Bible, whatever. And all the world and all the things, you know, the fire of God can be quenched in our hearts sometimes. Where it just feels cold, maybe disappointments, maybe hurts. Or is this a coldness inside of our hearts? And his presence feels further than it was in the past. Maybe there was a time where I had that fire inside of me. Maybe there was a time where I was really like on fire for God. We hear that all the time, right? On fire for God. He's on fire for God. Well, I used to be that person. But I'm just not feeling it anymore. You know, we feel cold without him in our lives. You know, even Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 talks about this. It says, you've left your first love. Or just things, it's just not there. That love, that fire isn't there. The love of God's presence in our lives is less now than it used to be. And there's one story that really gets me. It's in Luke chapter 24. And we'll go to the scripture in a second, Vince. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you this time. We'll be all right. I'll just paint the scene. The scene takes place shortly after the crucifixion. I believe it starts possibly in verse 17. But there's two men who are walking along the road, lamenting the death of Jesus and their loss of hope. Two disciples, they go, they see he's been, you know, the tomb is empty. There's all these things going on, right? And Jesus, if we read through that chapter, he appears by them. They don't recognize him. And he walks with them. Right? He's walking with them. He's talking with them. And they don't even recognize Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about. That place that we can get in our lives where it just feels cold and we could even be in the presence of God. Right? He could be in this church service. And he is. And we don't even recognize him. We don't recognize how to tap into his presence. And Jesus begins to talk to these two men about the scriptures, how the scriptures point to him. And later on, when Jesus is gone, the two men talk about what they've learned and how it affected them. And in Luke chapter 24, verses 32, and I'll cue Vince, it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? They didn't recognize Jesus. They had no hope. They were defeated. But then Jesus revealed himself to them. They didn't recognize him, but one encounter with Jesus One conversation with Jesus set their hearts on fire again, put the presence of God back into their lives, rekindled that fire, that refiner's fire. If you think about the forger, right, those big billows, right? You could think of it that way, that the fire was starting again in their hearts. And even though we may be in a season of our lives where we don't feel God, God is still there. He is still close to us. He is still able. When we call on his name, he will come. When we call on his name, God will begin to restart those fires in our hearts. That I can't do it by just, you know, singing loud enough or praising enough or worshiping enough or whatever, that when I call on the name of Jesus, right, it's not in a song, it's not in just the right message that's being preached, and, you know, it feels good. No, I'm talking about when I call on the name of Jesus, those fires that might have been dead start to rekindle in my heart. And I become in the presence of the Lord. I come into the presence of God, and I can feel his tug and his call on my heart again. It's in his name. Jesus wants to rekindle the fires in our hearts. Restart the fire. Restart the passion that we may have lost. Restart all of these things. It's the only way that we can live a life that's victorious is when God starts rekindling the fires in our hearts that we've let die. The things, the passion, the zeal, the enthusiasm, the desire for his word, the desire to reach people, being a light to people, God wants to rekindle that in our spirit. He wants to put his presence and his fire back into our hearts. That in Ezekiel, for example, it says that Ezekiel was a watchman. And the watchman was supposed to declare the message of God and to bring forth this message to the people of Israel. And we're called to do that too. Sergio talked about it a little bit with our testimony. And we've heard, you know, the Great Commission, go and share the gospel to all the world. But I can't do that without the fire. I can't be a watchman and tell people about God and share with them Jesus if I don't have the fire within me, if I don't have his presence in my life. How can I share my testimony when I don't feel his presence inside of my life? How can I feel, you know, or share that testimony if I feel defeated and that fire has gone out? And it's time as a church, I just feel it. You know, the winter's going on. We didn't have church last week. The snow's going. It's been raining. It's been terrible. It's been State College. All right? Amen? But God is saying, rekindle that fire. You know, this isn't very deep. This isn't very long. And I didn't think it had to be. But that's it. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just doing all the motions, that I want to have an authentic fire with God. The church in Acts, the only way that they were able to do all of those things in the book, and that history of the church, if you read it through it, is because in Acts chapter 2, the fire of God came upon them. The only way they were able to reach those people. Do you think that when Paul and Silas were in the jail and they were singing out and all these things and the prison was shaking, that they did that just on their own? No, it was because the fire of God was inside of them. All of these miracles that they did, all the people that they reached, all the people that they baptized, all the lives that they changed, the whole church started because people got a hold of the fire. That people got a hold of the fire. And if we could just stand, that there's something that needs to kindle inside of us, that God, if I'm going to do any of this, then Moses, God, when he went and he saw your fire and had an experience with the fire and he set your people free, that if I'm going to set people free in this world and set people free on this campus, that I need the fire. I need an experience with the fire. That's all it took, was a group of people in that upper room to have an experience with Jesus and have his fire and presence in their life. I don't want to be cold. What's the point? I could just come to church and be cold. Why even come? Why even do it? Because there's a place, there's an altar, there's a thing I can get a hold of God and get in contact with his spirit and say, God, fill me again with your fire. God, give me your fire. God, let your fire fall on this church. God, let your fire fall on this campus. God, deeper, Lord, let your fire fall, God. That's the only way it's going to happen. All these things, the Bible studies we're teaching, people need the fire. And I want that rekindled in my heart, greater than it has been before, hotter than it has been before, hotter than I've been, God. Make me on fire for you. Set my heart ablaze. It only takes calling on the name of Jesus and praising him, God. Even when it feels like the fire's going out in my life, God, start it again. I'm going to praise you again. When the fire's going out, I'm going to praise you again. I wonder if we could just come to the altar. God, fill us with your fire, Lord. Let your presence fall in this place, Jesus. God, we may feel like we're burning out, God, and we're getting cold. Lord, set us afire again. Ignite your fire. Ignite the passion for your gospel. Ignite the passion, God, to share our testimony. Ignite a passion, oh God, that, Lord, if there's things in my life, God, that impurities, God, things that you want to burn out, Lord God, do it, Lord. Let me get in your presence, God, and come to your altar, Lord Jesus, and sacrifice, God, what I have. I'll give you up what I have, oh God, so that you can pour out what you have, oh Jesus.